Amen. Please sit for our reading.
The reading is taken from the fifth chapter of St. Paul's letter to the Romans, fifth chapter, starting at verse 1 and on page 917 in the Bibles. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand. And we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our suffering, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. This is the word of the Lord.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. Mark chapter 14, beginning at verse 32. They went to a place called Gethsemane, and Jesus said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." He took with him Peter and James and John and began to be distressed and agitated. And he said to them, "I am deeply grieved, even to death. Remain here and keep awake." And going a little farther, he threw himself on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. He said, "Abba, Father, for you all things are possible. Remove this cup from me. Yet, not what I want, but what you want." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you,
O Christ. May my words and our thoughts be in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please sit down. Dear God, please let me win the lottery this week. 500,000 would do nicely. I'd use it for all sorts of good things and help all sorts of people. Thank you very much. Amen. Not a very helpful start to the enormous question of unanswered prayer, because we all know that that's not what prayer's about, and we wouldn't dream of doing it. Or not in our better moments. And it takes me back to Sunday school days, long, long ago, when I remember being told there are three answers to prayer: yes, no, and wait. I thought then it was a bit of a cop-out. So let's start again. Jesus said, "Ask, and it shall be given to you. And whatever you ask in my name, God will grant your request." And there's the crunch. How can we know the mind of Christ to ask in his name? This isn't going to be simple. While I was working in hospital chaplaincy, I was called to the surgical ward. An elderly lady had had surgery. The surgeons realized they could do nothing to help, so had closed her up again, and explained to her daughter that her mother had not very long to live. The daughter sent for me and asked me to pray that her mother would get better. Where would you start? She was, not surprisingly, very distressed. Her faith was based on bits remembered from childhood. She was pretty angry with God. What had her mother done to deserve this? She'd led a blameless life of loving service. But she wanted to believe that if I, a priest, a professional prayer, prayed, there would be a miracle, and her mum would get well again. So I said that of course I would pray with her mum and hold her in God's love, and tried to explain that none of this pain and suffering was God's will. He was weeping with her. But we are human. And from the very beginning, we and the rest of creation, down to platelets and cells and microbes, have been free to make our own choices. And we've all got it wrong for generation after generation. So there is illness and war and chaos and earthquakes and all the other stuff that does such damage as a result of that abuse of our freedom. In the beginning, God saw all that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And in an act of infinite love, he gave us that freedom of choice. And the story of Adam and Eve is our earliest attempt to explain it. But we only see a fraction of the whole. We see in a glass darkly, as St. Paul said. And the big picture is way beyond our limited understanding. But that wasn't what the daughter wanted to hear. We went in and prayed with her unconscious mum. I laid hands on her and anointed her with holy oil, and visited daily for the few days it took her to die peacefully with her daughter holding her hand. She wasn't going to recover. I'd have damaged the daughter dreadfully if I'd built up false expectations. I just hope she became more aware of our loving God, whose will is wholeness for us all, even if that final healing is in our death. I remember too another young woman with advanced stomach cancer. She asked to see me when she was admitted for whatever surgery was possible, but joyfully told me that she'd been praying with a group from her church the night before, and someone there had been convinced that she was healed. She wouldn't need surgery. The surgeon would be amazed. So she was waiting for the surgeon, a sensible Christian whom I knew quite well, thank you, God, to come and confirm that she could go home to her husband and her little girl. I was appalled, not that the group had prayed, but that someone had had the temerity to presume that he could see the future and to build up totally false expectations in someone so vulnerable. Between us, her surgeon and I convinced her that she must have surgery. She did, and again her illness was so advanced that he could do very little. The surgeon said she needed to prepare for her death. And we prayed earnestly and honestly, and I think her preparation was a miracle. She wrote a letter to her three-year-old for every birthday until she was 18. She taught her lovely but hapless husband how to run the house and look after their child. She wrote reams of advice and instructions. She planned her funeral and asked me to take it. And her last days in the hospice were inspiring as she prepared to meet God, whom she knew loved her. I very rarely pray for specific things for people, because I know I don't and can't see the big picture. But one night I did. Our Emma, age 17, with a brand new driving license, had asked to borrow my car to go to a party. She said she'd be back by 1 o'clock in the morning. You know the feeling. So, at 5 to 1 o'clock, I was looking out of the window praying, please bring her home safely. Don't let there be a drunken driver crossing her path. Now, I don't hear voices, but I did then. A voice said, now you know how I feel. God's given us freedom, given us the car, and now will not intervene. Then her headlights drew into the drive and I nipped back to bed so she wouldn't know I'd been watching and waiting. Strikes a chord, doesn't it? I do that too, said the voice. All those times when God seems so absent, he's there, just around the corner, as a poet wrote. So let's look at our powerful gospel reading. A very human and vulnerable Jesus, knowing what lay ahead for him. Arrest, torture, a horribly painful death on a cross. And he prays fervently to the Father who loves him, whose divine being he shares. Get me out of this. He could have run away. And that would have been the end of the story, and billions of others would never have heard of him, nor would we. But Jesus knows there is a big picture. His Father doesn't want him to suffer. But God's sacrifice of himself in his Son is the only way to redress the endless failure of creation and turn the world back to him. So Jesus prays, yet not what I want, but what you want. Your will be done. Jesus' prayer isn't unanswered. He knows that God's love is holding him on the cross until that final moment. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. So what is all this saying about how we should pray? I think it's saying that there's no way we can see the big picture. God's will is always our wholeness and well-being, but it doesn't always feel like that. God doesn't send rain for a wedding, or floods, or wildfires, or fires, or earthquakes, or famine and disease. But since he gave freedom to the whole of creation, including us, horrible things happen, and he suffers with us. And whatever it is, Jesus has been there before us. So for me, prayer is being before God, held in his love, and holding those I love and all my other concerns in that love too. I don't believe we can manipulate God by lists of things for him to do, by hours of prayer totted up in anticipation of something, by screeds of wants and needs. There is a lot we don't understand. A former archbishop said, when I pray, coincidences happen. And they do. But a holy person once described prayer as being before God with his people on my heart. Before God with his people on my heart. And I think that's as near as I can get. Amen. The choir is going to sing the Lord's Prayer to a setting, I think, by Fanshawe.